Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
For us, golf is simple. It's a chance to get out and have some fun with our friends. But inevitably, little things have a way of ruining it. The group ahead is taking forever, you can't find the fairway with a map, and the bev cart is nowhere to be found. And the best way to make a bad day better is Fireball Whiskey. You get their nips, the little shooters. They are great. Makes bad day way, way, way better. Make sure to grab the new Fireball Birdie Shot Club. It's literally a golf club filled with Fireball nips. Put it in your bag. It'll fit right in that side pocket. Drink Fireball nips and have a great time on the golf course.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. When did cheap plastic disposables with 90s-style graffiti art become the norm? No offense if Gaudi Pastel is your style, but the Flonk Max Smart embodies a smarter way to vape. The Flonk is sleek and discreet, and the most popular flavors are available nicotine-free and in 2% and 5% strength. A flexible disposable with a smart LED screen, the Flonk churns out 10,000 dense and delicious puffs. Visit MyPod.com and use promo code STOOL for 25% off Flonk vapes.
On today's Pardon My Take, we have actor Tony Hale. You might know him as Buster Bluth or Gary from Veep. Incredible actor. Awesome interview. PFT and I are both big fans of Arrested Development and Veep, so it was one of those interviews that was fun for us, and you can tell that he enjoyed it as well. We have Mount Rushmore of Things You Overthink. Kind of a loose-ended one, but it's going to be fun. We have Firefest of the Week. We're going to talk a little preseason football, Field of Dreams, a little Friday show to get you going for the last couple weeks of summer. Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's go.
Pardon My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.
Welcome to Pardon My Take, presented by WWE SummerSlam, coming Saturday, August 21st on Peacock, 8 p.m. Today is Friday, August 13th, and I want everyone to know it's not a setback, and it's not reason to worry, but QB Dak Prescott is planning on getting another MRI. That was the official tweet from the Cowboys account. I don't know if they did this as a joke, but I think when you say, like, if I said to you right now, PFT, hey, don't worry about it.
I'm already worried. Right
there,
just
it
right
is.
There.
We're already worried. Like, hey, don't worry about it, but I have to go to the hospital tomorrow.
Why would I be worried?
Just want to let you know, don't worry about it.
Okay, picture it this way. Your girlfriend walks into the room. It's not a setback. It's not a reason to worry. But I haven't gotten my period yet.
Yes. But listen, I'm still eyeing the game against the Bucs on September 9th.
So from what I understand, Dak Prescott, who has not played tackle football since he hopefully sprained his ankle in, like, what, week 3 or 4 last year?
Bashed his ankle into the ground to try to put it back into place.
Yeah, so he hasn't gotten hit yet, and he hasn't played in a meaningful game. His first action is going to be against the Bucks, who just won the Super Bowl.
Correct.
And they have...
And the NBA title.
And the NBA title, yeah. So that's going to be the first time he gets hit. Now, if I'm Dak, even if my shoulder's still not good to go right now, I would still have people do, like, tackling drills against me in practice where I would get hit, because you got to get that first hit out of your system.
Yes.
To stop thinking about it all the time. I would just have people, like, tackle me into a big mat so I didn't hurt my shoulder falling on it. But, like... I don't see that going well for the Cowboys.
No, I now that I'm thinking about it and reading it again, I think the Cowboys official account wrote this just for Jerry Jones, because they're like, listen, Jerry Jones is going to get this information through the Twitter account. And we don't want to tell – we don't want him to talk to a doctor because he'll just be like, hey, doc, make sure that Dak plays no matter what. Mm-hmm. So we need to just preface it with it's not a setback and hope he doesn't read the rest of the tweet. But yeah. If you're a Cowboys fan, you have to be freaking out right now.
Well, it might be just, you know, a little preventative MRI.
Yeah.
Like a little just – just to be safe. Like, hey, I feel great, but it doesn't hurt.
Well, it's not only a preventative MRI, it's another preventative MRI because – it's another MRI.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is always great when you have to go back and look again to see what the injury is.
I was telling Jake on the way over here, we were about to listen to Greeny, but we got here too early. He's going into the MRI tube, which is that you could say that's just like a giant weighted blanket.
Yeah.
He might like getting MRIs.
Yeah.
It might be comfortable for him.
It's his safe space, by the way. So we are in an undisclosed location right now. It's Grit Week is next week. So Sunday night, we're getting on the bus and we're starting our travels. We have some great interviews set up. We just finished, though, our interview that we'll be running on Monday, and it was incredible. Let's just say that. It was incredible. Everyone's going to love it.
It's someone people have wanted to come on for a long time, and it did not disappoint.
Grit is exactly how I would describe this person. So that's why we're in undisclosed, not in our studio right now.
It was a feeling where, like, certain interviews you get out and you feel like your day has been changed. We won the day.
Yeah, we did. We won the day. We won the day today. That's it. Now everyone's going to be like, what coach says we won the day? Oh, every person in all of sports.
Yeah, the standard is the standard.
Yes, yes. But we have some great guests coming. And we also have our disc golf video coming on Monday as well, which I'm very excited about.
Me too. Very excited about that. I think we're all excited.
Mm-hmm. I think we're all very excited. Happy?
Are you?
Yeah.
I'm very happy.
Then I am.
Okay, great. Okay, all right, we can go on with the show. All right, so the preseason football is here. Are you going to be watching preseason football? Or how much preseason football will you be watching?
I'm going to be watching a lot of first halves of preseason football.
Yes.
Because, remember, we only have 3 weeks.
We only have three weeks.
So it's limited. I get to see Fitzmagic for the first time in a football team uniform tonight. I'm very excited about that. We get to see Mac Jones play a little bit tonight.
The beauty of preseason is it is a true glass half full, glass half empty. You can just change. Like, if Justin Fields comes out and he's awesome, I'd be like, well, this is incredible. He's the best player ever. If he stinks, I'd be like, well, COVID, preseason, like, mm-hmm. you didn't expect him to be up to speed yet. You can twist what you're watching in a preseason game to fit however you want.
1,000,000%. If your offense looks terrible, like if you get shut out in all three preseason games, you're like, that's because our offensive coordinator is a mad scientist. He's got all the good stuff cooked up. Doesn't want to give anything away for the regular season.
And it wasn't the 0-16 Lions. Didn't they go 4-0 in the preseason?
They did go 4-0.
That's the other one that you can throw out there. Uh-huh. So their preseason really is just, it's like a Play-Doh that you can just mold to however you want to feel about your team going into the regular season.
Yeah, it's like an appetizer, Colin Cowherd analogy. If you go out to a nice fancy dinner, you're paying a lot of money for mm-hmm. it, you order the appetizer. If it comes out and it's average, but it's hot, you still feel pretty good about the rest of your meal.
Mm-hmm.
If it comes out and it's utterly inedible, you start to panic a little bit and you start to think about it in the back of your head. But just because you have an awesome set of mozzarella sticks that comes out, that doesn't mean that your Chilean sea bass is going to be properly cooked.
I feel like the correct coward one would be like preseason football is like your first wife. You know, mm-hmm. you try it out, you try some stuff, maybe have a couple kids, mm-hmm. and just see if it works.
Yeah.
Then you get to the regular season, your second wife. Mm-hmm. And like that, he always does those type of things.
Then you hit the bye week, yeah. and that's when you can really dye your hair and get out there again.
Yeah, your guma is your bye week. And then the playoffs come around. That's when you're 80 years old and you marry a 25-year-old. Mm-hmm. That's when you really got to start meaning something.
And that's when you get the convertible, and you really start speeding up in time for the playoffs. But watch out, because the faster you go, the harder you'll crash.
Preseason football, we also have the Field of Dream game. I think it's happening tonight, White Sox Yankees in Iowa, which is very cool. Like, seeing the videos, I got chills when I saw A-Rod walk into the cornfield in his uniform. Hmm. he he might be coming back tonight. I don't know. That feels like that was an omen, to, or what's the word? Yeah, omen.
Corny.
Yeah,
corny.
Yeah, it was it was corny too. But that's fine.
No, I mean like not in a bad way. Yeah, like the vegetable.
Cornfield. Obviously.
No. Yeah, it was a cornfield.
Right. I just wonder where.
Not that corny.
No, not that corny.
Not A-Rod.
Who carries A-Rod's uniform around with him right now? I don't know. I mean,
Is he bringing it with him?
Is he got that thing on him all the time?
He wears it underneath his clothes like Superman. He goes into a phone booth and then rips it apart.
He's driving by, like, I always talk about how whenever I'm driving or, you know, going past fields, if there's a game going on, I'll oftentimes like slow down or stop and watch the game for 10 minutes because it's just fun to do. I would imagine A-Rod like drives past a Little League field and throws his uniform on. He's like, hey, you guys playing a little game here? Mm-hmm. Mind if I hop in?
Well, he makes sure that there's some adults around that might have cameras on them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, you know what would really make all these kids' days? If I stepped in and played with them and went yard like 5 for 5.
Yes, yes.
And then that would be a great video for them to have later on in their life.
Yes. All I'm going to say is if Ben Affleck tried to put on a baseball uniform and walk into the Field of Dreams corn stalks, I think he would look like a loser.
Mm.
I think we can all agree on that,
he
right?
He goes shirts for skin so he can show off that awesome back tattoo.
Yeah, man.
I think that if they play
this... Which, by the way, I don't know if you saw the clip that went around Jennifer Lopez basically saying they're disgusting 3 years ago. That's interesting.
With back tattoos?
No, Ben Affleck specifically.
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
That's weird. That. Sounds like, all of a sudden changed?
Sounds like he was living rent-free in her head a few years ago.
He might just have to borrow Gallo's jersey.
Who?
He's 13.
Oh, Gallo. Yeah. Yeah, he did. You think he probably did? He probably was like, hey, man.
Gallo?
Gallo. He's like, on his hat, right?
Did you not go? You decided not to go with the J? Yeah. Gallo?
Gallo. I actually took me a second to realize you're talking about Joey Gallo.
Yeah, that's Joey Gallo. Yeah.
There's a guy. Gallo. Oh, there's a guy, Gallo.
Pico de Gallo.
Pico de Gallo.
I think under normal circumstances, Hank is right, but that's just not how Joey Gallo.
Yeah, no, he probably did. He probably was like, hey, Joey, your game's not till tomorrow. Can I get those pants, maybe the underwear as well? Just throw this thing on, make it authentic.
I think if they play this game in Iowa, they should not have an outfield fence.
I agree.
It should just be the corn.
Yes.
And then if there's like a grounder that would bounce into the wall, they have to run into the corn and try to grab the ball out, try to find it.
And if you go into the corn and catch it while in the corn, that counts as an out.
That's an out, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they should not have an outfield fence there. That's a big mistake. I'd say that's probably the biggest mistake that Major League Baseball has made this week.
Yep, agreed. Absolutely. Oh, man, people are mad. People are big mad. Yeah. Big mad.
Well, it's not a setback. It's not a reason to worry, but no. People are upset about Barstool Sports Online.
Yes. I can't. You can't believe it. People
nope.
don't like us.
Can't.
All right, what else we got? Anything else going on? It's kind of like we finally have hit like a slow period in the sports calendar.
Well, I
for like our 1 week.
Two big things. Number one, USA Soccer's back. USA Soccer's in the top 10.
We're love it.
Ranked above Mexico after beating them in like three
coaches
consecutive.
Poll or
who, yeah, who the, who, what yeah,
which poll?
No, this is the computers.
The FIFA's?
The BCS?
ELO Chess has us above them.
Where's Bama ranked?
Bama's number one again.
Okay.
Obviously, Bama. It's Ohio State, Clemson, like, Oklahoma, United States.
I know we joke, but like if Nick Saban and the Alabama football team decided they wanted to be number one soccer team in the world, they would.
Immediately.
Right away.
Zero training.
Yes, they just would.
If you put a soccer ball, if Nick Saban, instead of having a bunch of footballs out on the practice field one day, just tossed an Adidas out there,
yeah,
we would immediately be ranked number
Bama
one.
So Bama should always be ranked number one.
Bama's
so we're 10?
One.
We're top 10?
So we're top 10. I think we're number 9 ahead of Mexico, so that's cool. And then the other...
beat them every time.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it shouldn't even be a question, but it's news for some reason. I would actually go as far as say that it's not even a rivalry. A rivalry implies that both teams win occasionally.
Agreed.
And if you look back at the history of our last two League of Nations Golden Cups, like it's just basically us showing up out there.
Yep.
The other thing that I saw happening today was J.R. Smith is going back to college, which there has to be a documentary.
Well, he kind
of... true life... I'm J.R. Smith.
He kind of stole Caleb, our good friend Caleb, who actually shot an 86. Shout out Caleb, who's trying
allegedly
to become a professional golfer.
But not really.
Whoa.
But just kidding.
You're saying allegedly?
No.
We hatched up
the
idea.
We're already professional golfers.
Yeah,
so.
We hatched up the idea a while ago on air that Caleb, who played college football at UNC, should re-enroll because he still has eligibility and just go through college and play on a golf team. And then J.R. Smith took our idea, and now he's probably going to be he's probably going to be a professional golfer.
Yeah. He needs a documentary about this.
Yes.
About Jarrett Smith just getting high as shit and playing golf every day, going back to college. That's the dream. Really, retirement should just be going back to college.
Yeah, Jarrett Smith documentary absolutely has to happen.
Yep.
We should do it.
Yeah, call it Greens Fees.
Do you think he has to? Do you think he's going to get to like the pro, and he takes off his shirt, and they're like, JR, like, there's actually, you actually do have to wear a shirt.
Do you? I know you have to wear pants, but do you
I'm
have
pretty
to wear
sure you have to wear a shirt.
I don't think you have to wear pants either in college.
Yeah. Oh, college, you don't?
It's anyone's
game.
Okay,
so he can just go in his underwear?
He could go shirtless. I'd like to see him just go shirtless. And nice thing about J.R. Smith, in honor of Tiger Woods, his eyes are always red on Sundays.
That's true. That is true. That was like a 1.8 Riley boobs.
That one was tough.
Ezekiel Elliott was a lot better.
Ezekiel Elliott is catching on like
that
wildfire.
That one was tough, though. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, sometimes they just hit you, and I have to let the takes flow through me. I don't have a filter on this.
Yeah, if you tweeted that from Rick Riley's account, people would be like, boo.
No, I would, to be clear, I would never in a million years even tweet that from my account.
Okay. All right. What? Anything else?
Leroy's?
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Come on, dude.
Leroy would never stoop to having that shitty of a take.
Anything else, Jake?
No, it's pretty late week in
it
sports.
It is. It's weird. It's weird to have finally like a small break in the action.
Oh, I got one more. It's a early who's back. Udonis Haslam.
Yeah.
He signs. Oh, my God.
What? We were just talking about him the other day. It's like, who's on the Heat this year? They have to bring back Udonis. He's got a contract whenever he wants it for the rest of his life, right? Just to be on the bench.
Yeah.
And maybe
yeah.
fight one guy on the team a year to keep him in check.
He's going to play forever. Forever.
Literally the definition of Heat culture.
It's, yeah. If they ever don't bring him back on the Heat as a franchise, I think, just ceased to exist.
He's got to have some serious dirt on Pat Riley. That's what this tells me.
What a life. There should actually be, like, what is the roster in NBA? It's 12, right? There should be just a 13-man on every team that's like $1 million. Everyone gets it, and it's just – it has to be – the player has to be 40 years or older. Just so we can see – like, imagine Shaq just standing on a sideline. Just every now and then, just let him go in.
The Heat Big 3 era, Juwan Howard was pretty much that guy.
Yeah, that's true.
He was active.
That's true. So he got 1 year, $2.6 million. He's betting on himself for this offseason.
Yes, we'll see big what he time. Gets. See if he is up-and-coming star. Udonis Haslam, see if he can catch on somewhere afterwards. All right, let's do our Mount Rushmore.
Hey, it's PFT here, talking about Peloton. Starting is everything when it comes to fitness. Peloton encourages you to get moving by doing what you can. Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. That's why they have instructors who motivate you from day one with thousands of classes from all levels to get you started. I love my Peloton. I'm back on the Buns of Anarchy. I've been back on the bike if you want to join Buns of Anarchy. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or Bike Plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply.
Mount Rushmore. Hank, great win. You won the Mount Rushmore. What? Great
back,
win.
Back-to-back just stud performances out of your account.
Damn, but, you're good. But what?
Oh, I don't know. This is usually where you guys are like, we threw it.
Oh, this is usually when you say Liam picked all your picks.
No.
Okay, Mount Rushmore. Mount Rushmore. We're happy. We're back. Mount Rushmore's back. Mount Rushmore.
You're happy?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Oh, then I'm thrilled.
So happy. Mount Rushmore of things you overthink is today's Mount Rushmore.
I think we should let Noah, the sound guy, pick the order.
Okay.
Just 1, 2, 3, 4.
Or it's got to go in order. So just pick one person and they'll go first and then we go from there.
All right, we'll start over here.
All right.
So we'll go this way?
Took me.
Good pick, you want to
Noah.
Go this
I
way.
Like Noah. Noah.
Good. Noah says, okay, all right.
All right, which way are we going? Clockwise?
Me next and then Jilly and then Hank.
Okay.
Hank, all right. You cool?
Are we all good?
Yeah.
Everybody cool with it?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, if you have Mount Rushmore ideas, tweet us at him. Tweet it at Jake, please. Jake has a running list of Mount Rushmore.
We only
ideas.
Have like 10-ish more.
Oh, so. Wow. I'm so sad.
Okay. things we overthink. There are a lot of things. There are a lot of things that we overthink on this list. I'm going to go with one that I think we can all relate to is who to bet on the Super Bowl because you get that extra week where you start third and fourth guessing yourself and you just get into like this place where you're fighting you're playing a chess match against your own brain at that point. So you overthink who to bet on for the Super Bowl.
Okay. My first pick, I'm going to go with symbol one. Obviously, you have to have had a pet, but a dog specifically. What's wrong with the dog? If the dog is acting a little bit weird, if the dog like makes a noise, you just sit there and you overthink everything that happens with the dog. What's wrong with the dog? Oh, no. Does the dog need to go to the vet? That's a big overthinking thing.
Is that a limp?
Yeah, like, I think that's limp. Did I just hear the dog whine? Like, yeah. Why is the dog scratching its ear? It's the dumbest thing we do because dogs, for the most part, are usually very resilient and there's nothing wrong with them. But any little thing that might be, oh, the dog didn't eat all its dinner. Oh, no. Like, what's going on? Yeah. So that really will fuck you up and you'll overthink it to death.
The poop was a little bit loose. Yeah, oh, no. Right. I hope it doesn't affect
you. There's so many things that you can just constantly do. I remember when you first get a dog, too. Like, when I first got Stella, it was like every other week we'd go to the vet. It's like, what's that? Was that a growth on her paw? Mm-hmm. And you realize, like, dogs are pretty chill. All right, next one. Chili.
Everything.
Oh.
Overthink everything. Okay. Yeah.
So you are a beta male.
No.
Well, yeah.
I just...
How are you going to make other picks
alpha
now?
Brain waves.
No. Billy just ended the draft for everyone.
Yeah, but no, but you're a beta because if you overthink everything...
No, brain waves.
No, I'd say alphas don't have to think.
No, I think alphaly... And then
no, you don't.
This is a terrible.
It's everything.
Billy, alphas right.
Overthinking everything.
So you overthink everything. So everything you've ever done, you've had to overthink it.
When you have
you've
to
never
think
made
about
a
it.
Decision that's like that. Again, this is a beta mindset because I don't have to think about everything.
Alphas don't think.
I don't have to overthink everything. Some,
everything.
Real gangster.
A lot of people
sleep.
Overthink everything.
They take naps.
All right. Well, Billy, I think that you should just straight up not pick again because you just drafted everything in the world.
Right, but like sometimes you think about everything when you're overthinking.
Now this you're making me overthink right, this yeah, pick this of overthinking. God damn it.
All right, my first pick and second pick is your food order at a new restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
Yep.
Big time.
I'll usually just get the same thing. Like once I get something once, I'm a creature of habit. I'll just get it over and over and over again. But the first time, you never know. You don't want to mess it up. So that's one. And then my second one, I will go with when to use exclamation points.
Yeah.
Like emails. It's mostly in emails, and it's like obviously like work stuff where you're like, you put the exclamation point and you're like, do I want to be this excited? Like, is this the right place for it? Is mm-hmm. it not the right place for it? Do I put a period, but then it sounds too serious? You want to seem excited, but you don't want to seem too excited.
Yep. Does the exclamation yep. point mean that I'm yelling?
Right.
Yep.
Right. Uh-huh. Right.
Big time. All right.
I don't think I've ever gotten an exclamation point from you, Hank. Is that because you overthink it?
Well, we don't email. It's more like emails, like,
yeah.
And I don't know. It's like, you know, small talk and corporate talk. And you're like, thanks so much. But you're like, I don't actually appreciate it this much.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I do appreciate it.
We should make a piece of punctuation in between a period and exclamation mark.
I agree.
Yeah. A hybrid.
Yeah.
All right, Chili.
So this one, you guys feel free to video it. It's kind of similar to Hank, but I had how to word a text / email.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Yeah.
There's definitely variations on all these things. Yeah. Okay. So. How to word a text. You probably do that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's, stare at it three times. Read it four times.
Do you do that with us, too, even?
Not really with you guys. Okay. No.
You let your guard down?
Yeah, a little bit.
I like that. You've created
a comfortable environment for Jake. Yeah. When I do that, I always check to see if I'm texting with another blue dot person.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I'm like, oh, shit, they can see me overthinking. I start to overthink how I'm overthinking the text.
Yes.
And then I'm like, they're looking at this. And then sometimes when I get the other thing done and I see other people's blue dots, I start overthinking what they were about to text.
Right, right.
If I text them first.
Right, you get in that like blue dot, like bubbles face off.
Yep.
Cheat code, you know what you do? You type the text in notes and then you copy paste it.
That sounds terrible.
A lot of work.
Yeah, that's awful.
Like for like super serious texts.
Well, give me a scenario where you would copy and paste from your docs.
Like when you're texting like your coach.
Okay.
All right, you mean texting.
Saying what?
I don't know, just like important stuff.
Hey, I think I'm good enough to play quarterback still.
Maybe.
Hey, coach, it's not a setback.
All right, my next one.
Part of my take again.
Is when to leave for the airport. big time overthinking. What time do you leave for the airport? Do I have enough time? I don't want to be there for too long.
What time zone am I in?
Yeah, what time zone are you in? It's such a stupid, silly, easy thing that like we all have done a million times. But no matter what, like you always, whenever you have a flight, you're like, all right, what time should I leave? All right, maybe I should leave a little earlier than this. I always end up leaving like 15 minutes earlier than the time that I set I should leave.
I do the backwards math. So I'm just like, okay, I want to be there an hour before every flight. How long does it say right now in Google Maps it'll take me right, to get to the airport?
But then like if it's like
security
tomorrow
too.
Morning, it's I'm leaving at 9 a.m. Like how long is the traffic? If the traffic's bad, how bad is it going to be? If it's no traffic, am I get there too early? It sucks.
Then you got to do subtraction because it's like, wait, I've got clear, which is, Jake, what is clear?
TSA pre-check on steroids.
Love there it. Go. Love it.
All right, so I got two coming back, huh? I'm going to go with stuff you should have said. You ever lay awake in bed at night and be like, I really wish I'd said this.
Yep.
I really blew it. You start or you start like rethinking what you did say and how you could have tweaked it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Or like next time I see this person, I'm going to say it's basically the entire plot of the Jerk Store episode of Seinfeld.
Yep.
So stuff you should have said, and then next one, whether to go for two.
That's easy.
If you just take the one.
Give me a test.
Okay. Here's a great one. You probably won't get this. You are down 14 in the fourth quarter. There's 6 minutes left. You score a touchdown.
Go for two.
Yep. You're right.
Always. You got it. Always. All right. My next pick.
What about if it's before halftime?
Yeah. Well, what does the chart say? Then I say, what does the chart say at that point? I get my chart out.
Okay. What? All right. My next pick.
But then the announcers are like, he's being too cute with it. If you go for two too early.
Okay. I'm going to go with my next pick is going to be, oof, I got a fucking couple that I want to pick from. Okay. Overthinking when you catch a whiff of a bad smell. Whether it be like, all right, is this coming from me? Is this my breath? Is something like, did I step in shit? And then you overthink. That carries with you throughout the day of like, am I the one who smells? And overthinking that all day long. Like, did I not forget to put on deodorant? Yeah. It will fucking kill you. Ruin a day.
I've got a little life hack. If you think, like, if you have that little tickle in the back of your brain where you're like, it could be me that smells, what I do is I just quickly stand up and sit down and do a little
give yourself
shake,
a little yeah
and then I just all the air that gets going through my body I take a big whiff and if it's clean then I'm good. It's
yes,
somebody else.
Yes. All right, Jilly.
Free throws.
Got it.
Okay.
Yep.
They're free.
But you're at the line.
Yeah. Okay.
And muscle time. Memory.
Mm-hmm.
Those should be something you don't. No. Good pick.
But the thing is, a lot of people do.
No, remember, Billy already picked everything.
Right. Positive vibes only.
That Hank does make a good point where it's like the one thing that you always hear people say about free throws is like
don't think.
You don't think.
It's truly just muscle memory. Yeah. Like if
but
you practice
like,
enough.
But it's like don't think about penguins.
Okay.
Huh?
You're thinking about penguins?
No, I'm thinking about
no,
your
I'm not. I'm
weird
thinking about
goatee.
Your fucking free
when you're
free
throws,
that. Everyone overthinks free throws. Training, like the people who...
No, I actually think that like the best free throw shooters never overthink
exactly,
free throws.
But most people aren't the best free throw shooters.
Okay, but what? Who are you? Who takes free throws? Like,
what are you
all right, fine, forget it. You
I
know
think
what?
You can
pick.
You can overthink.
Yeah, there
free
are
throws.
People who overthink it.
It's
but,
happened.
Like a lot of people don't overthink it.
A lot of people do.
Okay.
More people
right,
do than
vibes.
Don't.
I'm not going to fight with you. I disagree on that.
Outer space.
Oh yeah, big time.
It's one of those things I try not to think about because when I do,
yep, fuck yeah.
I usually just want to like it's like nothing matters in the world
because mm-hmm.
you're like, who cares what I do when the outer space exists?
Dude, I got a little of that. Not to get libbed out here, but climate change definitely. Like when you think about it too hard, it kind of fucks you up.
Especially with kids, it's like
fucks you up.
Yeah, like what have you done bringing living things into this world, knowing that in like 50 years they won't even be able to live in Miami.
There's a meteorite coming in 2142, I think.
Oh, okay,
that
cool.
date might be wrong, but they said that yesterday.
Do they send you like a Google Calendar thing about that or what?
Yeah, asteroid, it's coming close.
This is another one of Billy's studies.
Is that they're saying it, the New York Post?
Yeah,
yeah, that sounded like a New York Post. Please quote tweet this.
Okay.
All right. And then the last one, this is goes back to like high school, college days. It happens at the office too. when you're in a long hallway with someone, and it's just you two in the hallway, and you don't know when to acknowledge them, if you're supposed to acknowledge them, like you're just walking on that hallway, and you the whole time you're just like overthinking, what am I supposed to do when I walk past this person?
So
it's like, when do I greet this person?
Do I greet this person?
Do I greet this person? Like, how do I greet them?
We both know we're in this room, but I don't maybe not even know this person. Like, it happens in the office where it's like I walk by someone I don't know, and I'll just I usually just go with the head bob. I usually
the other variation to this is when you see someone from work, your flashlight is on. No big deal. When you see someone from work outside of work going to work, and you like avoid saying hello to them because you don't want to also walk with them all the way to work. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll see someone like at Starbucks and you'll be like, all right, hope they didn't see me. I didn't see them.
Yeah, or when you leave work and you're and then you see each other on the train, but like on the other side of the train.
Yeah, you're like,
I'm not gonna walk up to them and talk to them.
And then have to be in a conversation for the next half hour.
Right.
This one is pretty self-explanatory. It's what to pick for this Mount Rushmore.
Good one. So you guys have everything and what to pick for this Mount Rushmore.
There's only
it's just Mount Rushmores in general.
Right. But you also have everything.
This is meta.
This is you guys really crying.
But everything is like
I actually think you guys are gonna win, but whatever, because of everything.
I actually think we're gonna lose. I think the free throw pick. But maybe I'm overthinking that.
All right, my last pick is your March Madness bracket. The biggest paralysis by analysis. Like, do I have enough underdogs, you know, when you do the whole like, oh, well, I have all chalk, so I got to pick a couple high seeds that I don't really like, but you know what's going to happen. You could just stare at it forever.
Yeah, which one seed do I think could lose in the second round?
Yeah, right. And you're just like, probably none of them, but I need to have one so I'm not like, you know, Johnny Chalk over here.
Mm-hmm. All right, my last one, it's similar to that. It's whether to hit a 12 against a 13. If a dealer's showing a 3. That one, I'll sit there for 10 seconds, which is an eternity on the blackjack table.
Yeah. I usually hit that. Wait, yeah,
Billy,
I usually hit that.
What's that? Billy's
12
doing
against a 3?
Yeah, you should. Yeah. I think it's like 51%
Well, you're assuming that they have a face card, so where are you going to stay on 12?
Book says hit.
Yeah, I hit that.
Yeah.
But
hit
if they have a face card...
Well, you hit everything. I can't play blackjack with you or PFT.
Especially if you're at the end of the table and you don't want to take that bus card from the dealer.
It's truth.
It's tough.
PFT and Hank are the biggest, like, I'm just going my gut here. Like,
I'm the opposite. I've
come down from that.
Yeah.
Because we used to do it with people I knew, and it was kind of funny to just be like, whatever. And then me and this guy... He tried to fight me.
Yes.
I get it now.
No,
yes.
I'm probably the most considerate person. If I'm playing at the end of the table, I will go just strictly by the book because I don't want to fuck up anybody else's
day. I've given some death stares to people who don't play by the book.
It sucks I can handle it. You can handle it once every now and then, but when someone's just going fucking like balls to the wall, like I'm just doing whatever, hitting on crazy shit.
Like sixes and fives, it's hard for me to stay. Usually,
it depends on where the casino has a metal detector.
There's times when you
got
to hit.
I know.
Yeah,
it really depends on if the casino has a metal detector.
What?
Well, if you care about it, if people get pissed,
if they have a gun or a knife. Okay.
All right, things we missed. I'm just gonna keep going forward on that one. Stain on your clothes. Can people, like, if you have a little stain on your clothes and you're like, shit, can people see this? Yeah. Or, like, a wrinkle?
Mm-hmm. Wearing jeans and shorts or sweatpants multiple days in a row, or, like, can I wear this? Like, it's clean, but if I wear it again, am I going to get judged even though it's clean?
Yeah, I've got...
Like, jeans, like, sometimes I wear jeans, like, 3 days in a row. I'm like,
is everyone noticing?
Is someone in the office going to be like, dude, you wore those three days in a row, man?
Yes.
I've got what to get for appetizers.
Yep. Appetizers. I just order everything. I never overthink that one.
So if you got appetizers...
I don't. I'm. That's actually... One of my gifts is not overthinking that.
I'm the guy that will try to narrow it down to two appetizers, but then if there's a third one that's looking really promising, it's just go with the sampler.
No, I just do it all.
Get the appetizer sampler.
If a person is late, are they dead? Like super late? Like the time PFT slept till like 1 o'clock on a Wednesday?
That was weird.
I just assumed he was dead.
I thought I was dead when I woke up.
Yeah, those will fuck you up though. Like if someone who's notoriously on top of things and like good with communication just doesn't show up for a couple hours, you're like, well, that person's dead.
Mm-hmm. What else did I have? Oh, where to go on vacations. That's a tough one.
That's a bougie pick, but I like it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I agree.
Because you got to make it count.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, Billy?
When someone hangs up really quickly, and you don't know why, like mid-sentence.
Oh, yeah.
That's another one.
Oh.
What about, is this guy a cop?
Yeah. Is this guy offering me a goo ball at a Fish concert a cop?
Mm-hmm.
Is this person on steroids? Whether or not someone's on steroids.
Yeah, that's a good call.
I think a better pick would have been everything on mushrooms. Then you really overthink everything.
Huh.
But you overthink everything.
Kind of.
Yeah. Okay. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, that makes you a little bit of a...
No, because then you, like, think about every single scenario and have a plan for it.
But then you're just sitting around thinking all the time. Well, never acting. No action.
A lot of action.
Okay.
A huge miss is, does this person like me?
Yep.
That's not just like a member of the opposite sex. It's just in general, like, am I cool with this person?
Another one off of that is like, was that joke offensive?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when you're out with maybe a new group and you say something, you maybe push the line and you're like, wait, did they take offense to that? Mm-hmm. Fuck. Like, I probably shouldn't have said that.
This, you know, maybe Liam or these guys can understand, but I overthink whether or not when the guest comes in, like if I'm supposed to introduce myself or if I'm supposed to just take a back seat and like just let you guys do it. Because sometimes they come in, they look at me and I'm like, all right, I'll go for it. But sometimes they just go for you guys and like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant just like,
R.I.P.
No one introduced me and I was standing there like ready to introduce myself and no one introduced me and it was like super awkward and I still overthink it.
Did you introduce himself?
No.
Mamba mentality.
Yeah.
Never introduced myself to producers.
You did me no favors. Yeah.
Sorry. Italian.
Was really Italian. Big time Italian. No, well, yeah.
What about this is kind of similar to Hank's thing about whether or not to say hi to somebody when you're approaching them in the hallway, but I've talked about it before when I get face-to-face with somebody on a sidewalk, which side am I going to step to get around that person?
Mm-hmm.
Because then you end up in the dance where you're going back and forth.
Yep. Well, yep.
And that's my worst nightmare.
And just sidewalk speed in general, because sometimes you're like walking and I'm like, I'm kind of picking up speed on this person, but to get all the way past them, you have to take it to a new gear, and it's like, do I really want to speed walk past this person, or do I want to be like basically on their ass right behind them, and they might be like, what the fuck is this person doing?
Yes.
Because then you just have to awkwardly like really walk fast past them.
Yeah.
And then turn it back, take the gear back.
If you're talking about from a woman's point of view, is this guy behind me a rapist?
Oh, yeah.
On the sidewalk.
Or, like, yeah. Also, from a man's point of view, am I a rapist?
Does that person think that I'm following?
Right. There are times late at night when you're like, wait, this woman thinks I'm following her, but I'm just walking here. Like, should I say something?
Yeah.
But then me saying something makes it way worse. That's a bad spot.
So I've got two moves. If it's late at night, if it's not a crowded area and I'm within maybe like 30 feet or so, I'll either cross the street and go to the other side to make her feel okay.
Mark Cuban.
Or if I'm catching up, or if I'm catching up to her, I'll just be like, gonna pass you on your left real quick. Just to let
put a honk?
Like you're on a fucking bike?
Yeah. No, just to let them know that the footsteps that they might hear, like, I'm going around you.
So you speed up towards them?
Yeah.
Yes.
I've done it many times.
Yeah.
Hot soup coming through. That would be a good place to use that one, too.
Yeah, you definitely should use that. Late at night, hot soup coming through. Another one for bets is trap bets. Like a trap bet or a letdown spot where you're like, all right, this team is in a letdown spot, but do they know they're in a letdown spot? So then I should bet on them because they're going to be extra motivated. You can definitely drive yourself crazy overthinking.
Yeah, just overthinking a rat line in general.
Mm-hmm.
Smell something here. Vegas knows something.
Big time. All right. Is that anything else? I think we got them all. Jake?
That was a good round.
Did I swear on the hot mic?
Kickoffs.
Kickoffs.
What about kickoffs?
What about them?
Just.
What should you do onside?
Yeah, like should I kick the ball?
Yeah.
What's your other option?
That was a call back to free throws.
Do you think there's overthinking?
Okay. Yeah. That was a good roast.
Do you think
it's more like extra points?
Okay, yeah.
Okay. Overthinking when to foul up three.
Yeah, that's a good one. Understand.
I mean, I don't think they should overthink that, but yeah.
A massive one that we missed. When should I put out this album that I've been creating that I named after my mom that the world's waiting for?
Mm-hmm. That's true. How far can I troll the world?
Yep.
The
future?
The future, yeah.
The future.
Yeah.
Oh, in the past. The future is a good one.
The future. Future.
Yeah.
SpongeBob reference. Never mind.
Dude, give us a SpongeBob voice to end this.
Bah!
Right.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Okay, we now welcome on a very special guest. He is an actor. He's a fantastic actor. It is Tony Hale. He is two new things out. Let's start with that because we got a lot of things to talk about. I think both PFT and I are very big Veep fans, very big Arrested Development fans, so we'll talk about that. But I wanted to bring up the two things that you're promoting, 9 Days, which is out in theaters now, and then The Mysterious Benedict's Society, which is out on Disney+. Is that two of the most opposite end of the spectrum things that you promoted at once? Because I watched the preview for 9 Days. That seems like a pretty heavy movie. I want to watch it. Seems heavy. And then you got a children's book, you know, which is a fantastic series in its own right. So that's how do you like switch back and forth when you're doing these promotions?
Well, I don't know if it's the most extreme because I remember promoting Veep and Toy Story.
Okay.
At the same time once. And I was like, yeah, those you can't get more opposite than that. But yeah, 9 Days, I will say, even though they're very different, 9 Days, I think there's a lot of cool themes, especially with what we've all been through this year. Like 9 Days talks a lot about not taking moments for granted and living for the moment, which I feel like I have woken up to, you know, post pandemic. And then Benedict is about kind of, there's so much noise in society and finding the truth above the noise. And so both of those, there's a lot of parallels happening with what we're all going through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'd like to go back a little bit to kind of before you started your acting career, or I guess as it was just beginning, because I read that you moved out. You decided to move up to New York. You were trying to decide like, OK, how do I get this thing started? I feel like, you know, people eventually, if they've decided they want to be an actor, they have to make a choice. Am I going to do New York or am I going to do L.A.? Why did you decide that you were just going to try to make this happen in New York?
That's a great question. I can't speak for anybody else, but for me, New York felt a lot more accessible. Also, it was a little more of a theater town to where you could agents, because at the time I didn't have representation, agents, they went to theater, they went to showcases where people doing scenes, you could showcase your work. LA, this was before the digital time. So, and nobody went to see theater really. So it was tougher to kind of showcase yourself. That was a big reason, but also LA is very spread out. LA, I think it's tough, you know, where you live, that's kind of your connecting point. If you have a friend on the, you know, west side, it's tough to get them if you're on the east side. New York, it's like a 20-minute subway ride wherever you went. So it felt like when I was younger, it was a lot easier to find a community in New York.
And I would assume that being in New York is why you got cast in Sopranos, which was your big break, right? People forget you were in the Sopranos.
I was an oncology nurse to Uncle Junior for a day.
Okay.
And I was so nervous. I was so nervous because I'd mainly done commercials. I was kind of a commercial guy for years in New York. I was always the guy that was, I was like the quirky, not all there guy, which has pretty much led into most of my career jobs. But I was that guy. And then I got the Sopranos gig for a day and I was like, oh my gosh. And I was just, and I remember I had to hold his, I was giving him chemo and I had to like do it very specific. And when I get nervous, sometimes my hands shake. And I was like, God, please just like keep it steady. Keep it steady. Yeah.
we do a thing where we spoil the Sopranos on this show. We're not going to do that right now.
I might have just spoiled it.
Yes. Well, you didn't keep Uncle Junior alive. Sounds like you were a terrible doctor.
I was.
Yeah.
Maybe I was a good doctor, but inside as an actor, I was losing my mind.
Well, you kept him alive long enough so that he could shoot his nephew.
Okay, there's the spoiler. There's the spoiler. People get very mad at us.
You're welcome.
We'll bleep that one out. So you get a job on Sopranos. You start working. You eventually kind of. I also read that you were handing out flyers. Were you one of the people that was like on the street in the village, being like comedy show tonight?
No, it had nothing to do with my work. It had to do with, I think I was handing out something for like air conditioning units or something in Bryant Park.
Wow.
And they just hired just people just to hand. And I just hand off. I had every job under the sun. I did that. I temped. I did cater waitering, which I actually really liked because I waited tables after college, and waiting tables was really tough for me because they get pissed about food. Like food, people get pissed mm-hmm. if it's not right. But with cater waiting, you don't have to deal with the people. You just put the food in front of them, you make the party look nice, and then you break it down. You don't have to talk to the people.
Yeah.
So I really liked that gig.
And you get extras at the end. I did some cater waitering yes. as well in college.
Yes.
Yeah, you get all the extras at the end, which they make yes. way too much food every time.
Yes, and you devour it.
Yeah.
It's just like vultures at the end of the night. I remember there was this big opening of the Philharmonic, and I remember giving out this dessert, and in chocolate on the plate, they had a score of one of the pieces they were playing that night in chocolate written on each plate. And all these people would just devour it, you know, at the table. And I'm like, like, just look at the plate for a second, man.
Yes, yes.
And also if it's a catering event, no one's going to like come up to you, the waiter, and complain about the food. It's like, well,
exactly.
You got it out of a giant pile. I'm not going to send this exactly. one piece of chicken back to the, yes. back to the cook.
100%.
This may be a dumb question, but
nope.
Arrested Development and Veep, two of the funniest shows ever, were they as funny like on set as they it felt like? Because you know there's a difference. There's shows that you watch where you're like, okay, they're it's funny, but you don't really feel like people are probably breaking, you know, like cracking up during the filming of it.
Mm-hmm.
Veep and Arrested Development, it always felt like if you could see the full cut, you guys were cracking up continuously and having to mm-hmm. redo takes. Is that fair assessment?
Yes. And my favorite thing to watch is the gag reels, because that's all we did was crack up, to the point where Julia once said to me, because I was laughing so hard during a take, she says, "Tony, you know you're not watching the show, you're in the show." and actually, oh, on my desk here, I always have, I don't know, I guess people who are listening can't see this, but if you're watching, can you see this? This is a picture of Julia and I cracking up in a scene. Do you see that?
Yes, uh-huh. I love
That's
it.
Great.
Did she make you laugh the most out of anyone you've worked with?
She made, yeah. She... I will say her and Will Arnett made me laugh really hard in Arrested, and just so many people on that show made me laugh really hard. But Julia, because I was so close in proximity to her all the time,
yep.
We caught each other's like just noises of like going, oh, okay. Right? Just like small things. And then to keep it together right behind her, that's just impossible. Like you can't, it's just not humanly possible. So I would ruin take after take after take.
I mean, your job is to stand next to Julia Louis-Dreyfus all the time. That a lot of people would say that's the best job in the entire world.
It is. She is. And not only is she, you know, incredibly gifted with comedy and many other things, but she's just a cool person. She's a really normal, kind human being. And that to me is, that's what it's about.
And so both of the characters, both in Veep and Arrested Development, I feel like you're exceptional at your physical comedy as well, and not like a slapstick way, like guy who gets hitting balls with, you know, a football. It's more like just your facial expressions and your awkwardness kind of just falls off the screen. Is that like something you practiced to get to that point, or did you always have a little bit of that in you where it's like, I don't know, you're really good at it. I don't know. I can't really describe it, but it's incredible.
It comes from so much pain. No.
What happened in your life to get like that?
Let's get into it. Let's get into the trauma. No, I think I was actually described, my character on Veep was described as a bitchy mime because she didn't let me speak. Selena never let me speak. So all I could do was use nonverbal. And I just clowned it up behind her. I would just do facial expressions. And that was my way of communication, was nonverbal. So I got very used to just finding different ways to communicate when I couldn't say anything.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't know where that comes from.
That's a great description of your character.
One thing, it always stood out to me in both of those roles that I don't know if it was the closeness of the writers to the actors or if you guys adjusted the scripts, but it seemed like the stuff that was written for the entire cast in both Veep and Arrested Development fit the characters so perfectly. It was almost like you guys were coming up with it on the spot and then refining it yourselves, which I know is not how it works out. Mm-hmm. But what do you think the magic was between the writers' rooms and the ensemble cast in both those shows that make it such like a seamless show to write and then perform?
Yeah, I think a lot of it, honestly, was in both situations, and I'll speak of Veep first just because that's what I just came from most recently, is the writers were always working in a team. So even though David Mandel or Amanda Iannucci was the showrunner, he always had writers around him to bounce ideas off, to give alts, to find, and then the actor would, also the actor was able to contribute stuff. So there was this real collaborative back and forth. So it wasn't like there was one set thing and you hoped that it worked. There were many different alts. And then when they got to the edit, they see which one works the best. So, and that's to me, like when you have that kind of control in comedy, it's like my way or the, you know, my way or the highway, like I'm right, this is the right joke. You're just shooting yourself in the foot, because that collaboration and all that kind of arrogance and entitlement, it just sucks creative energy out of a space. You got to have that playtime, the team and bouncing. And that's where you're going to find the magic, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there one joke? I mean, if you want to hear a dumb question, here's a really dumb question.
No, it's, not.
Is there one joke from either one of those two shows? I'll give you the option, maybe one from each. What is your favorite joke from Veep and from Arrested Development?
I would say, well, my favorite, well, joke, like line of Arrested Development was the one that immediately comes to mind is Jessica's Lucille's, when she says, it's something like, it's a banana, Michael. How much can it be? $10? Like, she was so checked out. Like, and then, but the joke of Arrested that made me laugh every time was Tobias's Blue Man Group.
Yes.
And how he thought it was a support group for depressed men. Like, I just, that, and him going back and forth with Miss Featherbottom, and I just, that made me laugh every time. Veep, let me say this, the insult, the insult that made me laugh the hardest, because that show was full, and the insults that were thrown at Jonah, who was the tall guy, I think he was called once, Frankenstein's monster, if Frankenstein was made entirely of dead dicks. And I just thought that is, there's nothing better.
Yeah, I mean, the insults on Veep, that was so much fun just listening to you guys go back and forth with those. I can't even imagine it, what the process was like coming up with them. It's just, you probably have to keep like a journal down when you're walking around and you just think of something and it's like, okay, this is going to go on the show.
Yeah, and they did. That's all they did. Like, these writers, they had their tablets, and they would just constantly write and come up with ideas and say, "Oh, try this." And it was just playtime. It was really fun.
I don't think that you think we can ask a dumb question.
I don't think you can ask a dumb question.
Was that the real White House in Veep?
Well, okay, that's close.
Okay. All right. Nice.
But I think it could be the real White House in Veep world.
Ooh.
So we're gonna frame it that way.
What kind of chapstick did Selena Gomez use?
Selena Gomez.
Oh, sorry.
Selena Myers. Yeah.
That was my dumb question.
Yeah. He totally meant to do that.
let me ask Selena Gomez what her favorite chapstick. Maybe Burt's Bees.
Bees. Do your parents still hate or not like Arrested Development and Veep? How is that possible?
I won't say hate. Hate's not the right word. They just don't get it. They never got it. To this day, the only thing they thought was funny was when Martin Short came on. They were like, that guy's funny. That guy's funny. Everything else, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And to this day.
What about Veep?
Veep, they thought it was funny, but they had a lot of notes. they were kind of like, they're a little mean.
What do your parents find funny? Like, what's their favorite?
They like the show Mysterious Benedict Society. They like that. And I think, you know, because it's a little more, I love it because it's a little more young adult. It's a little more, it's smart, but I would say, you know, kind of wholesome messaging and stuff like that. Veep and Arrested were a lot for them.
Yeah.
It was a lot for them. Like, I mean, they told me once, they said, oh yeah, my friends love Arrested Development, Anthony. And they said, we don't get it, but they love it.
And they've watched every episode, I assume, to support you.
It's questionable.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, it would be, that's quite a fate to be able to have to watch every episode of two series that you don't find funny.
Yeah, they don't. I don't think they have. So, I don't think they have. They might have seen some clips on YouTube.
Is this a situation where like they might not understand the character entirely? So when you go on SVU, do they watch you on Law and Order?
I never asked them that. I'm sure they did. I mean, I would think though it's very. I mean, that was an intense show. I think my daughter. I did it twice, and once I think my daughter was kidnapped, and I had to cry the whole time. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they did. I don't know if they did. I have to ask them.
Is that fun? Kind of like stepping out of what you're known for and playing a character that's completely 180 degrees different from.
Yeah, it is fun. Like something like 9 Days. This movie is really fun. Was really fun to do this character because he kind of has moments where he kind of fights back a little bit and is a little bit, you know, kind of tries to buck the system and stuff. And Gary was so emasculated, so beaten down. Yeah. Never had a voice, so it's nice to do that. I will say, when I did that Law and Order show, I remember I was in LA and I was coming to New York, and I lived in New York for many years, so I called all my friends and I was like, hey, let's go out, I'm gonna be shooting SVU, we'll go out at night, you know, go to dinner, have drinks, this will be so fun. And then I do the show crying all day, and I'm like, I don't want to go out. Like, you have to kind of live in this space where my daughter was kidnapped, you know? So it's like, and then I'm just like, yeah, let's go have dinner and have drinks. Like, it was, I had never at that time experienced, because with comedy, you're just like having a good time and coming up with bits, and so you can kind of carry that and go out. But like, sometimes it's so heavy that you just want to go home and sleep.
Wow. Yeah. That's interesting. I mean, that would be, I guess, the sign of a good actor, because I would probably just be like, yeah, let's go out. Yeah, whatever.
Or just a guy who can't separate his emotions.
Yeah. Keep like, I don't know, like a bee in your pocket or something that can, like some tweezers, just pinch yourself until you cry.
Yeah.
And then until after you're done, you're like, okay, I feel great now that I'm not in pain anymore.
That's good. I love that you had the bee the first. Like a live bee that I would let go and just go. Yeah.
Stab yourself with it.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So Veep, the one thing I really, really do love, and no spoilers because people should watch it if they haven't. I don't know what you're doing if you haven't. You guys did nail the series finale, which is almost impossible to do. You see it all the time. Some of the most iconic shows in the world, like people complained about the Seinfeld series finale. We obviously had Game of Thrones, Sopranos. Did you know in the moment, like, this is perfect? Like, this is gonna work. We've ended this in a perfect way.
I don't know if, I mean, all that credit goes to David Mandel and the writers, what they came up with. I think you're always, it's so personal, and we worked on the show for 7 years, and I love these people so much, and I love the character and the stories, that I think there's always that anxiety of like, is this capping it the way it should be capped? I don't know. I mean, you hope for the best, and then thankfully it really worked, but, you know, I'm sure everybody kind of hopes for the best, really.
Yeah, it is remarkable. It is probably like it's been done very few times where people walk away and they're like, yeah, that was a good ending.
Right. The problem with that is now everyone's going to be demanding that you come back and like make a movie out of it later.
Yeah. When's the movie happening? Yeah.
I'd love to do that, because I think there's that space, you know, well, I don't want any spoilers, but there's a space in between that you see in the finale, and that'd be really fun to investigate what happened during that.
It would be. Are you saying there's a chance?
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying that. Those are the big wigs have to make that decision. But I know that me and everybody involved would just jump at the chance, because we, you know, it was a gift to do that kind of writing, and to also work with, like I mentioned before, people with no ego, like no arrogance. Like, it's a team. And in this business, you find a lot of that kind of control sometimes, that arrogance. And it was just such a gift when people, you have a whole environment that's very giving like that.
Mm-hmm. So after a day on the set, if you're working on Arrested Development or Veep, are you a guy that goes home and, like, you watch comedies in your spare time? or do you turn on something that's more of a thriller, something like a little bit darker? Like, wait, how does that affect your day? Like, do you come home still wanting to laugh more?
I love that question.
Thank you.
I can't watch dark stuff. I can't watch dark stuff in general because half the time I'm like, hey, guess what, guys? This is on CNN somewhere. Why am I trying to be entertained by this heaviness? Like, it's just, I don't like people going in a theater and wanting to be terrified of somebody being murdered. Hey, like, that's happened. Like, I don't know what that does. Still to this day, I don't understand that. But to detox, I'm the guy where I will go on a YouTube spiral and I will watch prank videos over and over and over and over.
Okay.
I love that stuff so much. It makes me laugh. I watched the one, have you seen recently with if like a parent or something is asking their kid for more toilet paper and they're in the bathroom and they say, hey, can you give me some toilet paper? And when the kid comes back, they put Nutella on their hand. And then they go, oh, I'm so sorry. And these kids are like,
freak.
What? Did you just put poop on my, wait, what? Like, and some of these kids start gagging and then scream. I mean, it is the funniest thing. And that kind of prank stuff just makes me howl laughing. I love that stuff. Soldiers coming home to their families.
Oh,
like,
you're going sentimental.
Stuff.
Okay.
The dogs,
oh, yeah,
too.
The dogs
greeting the soldiers.
What about puke videos? You like puke videos?
No, I don't like puke videos. Damn. I didn't even know they were out there.
Yeah, no, they're out there. What about injuries, like really bad injuries?
No, because then I'm like, that. I feel too bad for them.
Okay.
That's like, I also do compilation videos where it's like, you know, The Voice, like when people get chosen or the golden buzzer on issue, but I never want to see somebody rejected.
Oh, man. So you're living,
all positivity.
And I think it's just because that if I'm going to detox, I want that kind of energy of just laughing and positivity. Just seeing somebody, their dreams, let me go, no, you're not right. It's like, oh, God, I'm in a business of rejection. Why do I want to watch someone just get rejected?
All right. Well, I mean, I thought we found a common ground there. My prank videos, I like to see someone get like horrifically maimed or injured. But yeah.
Do you like the scare ones? What about the ones where they're like, have you seen it? The guy's like, he's a bush and people think and they kind of jump out at him and scare him. Have you seen those?
I like those, but I only like it when the person who's getting scared like fights back and will like knock out the guy who's scaring. You need that extra level. Yeah. You need that extra level.
No, that makes me too uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Too uncomfortable.
Like,
I like
prank,
just when they laugh.
I like prank videos when people go into stores and prank people. Then the person who's getting pranked flips out and beats the fuck out of the pranker.
Oh, my God. So you must have really liked that show, Scare Tactics.
Yeah. Which one was that?
There was one. I didn't watch it because it got really dark. Like, people walking in and thinking their friend was murdered and all this kind of stuff. And it was like, ooh, this is a fine line, but you might have liked that.
Yeah, I like it because sometimes if somebody's doing a prank video out in public, it almost becomes the person that's doing the prank becomes really unlikable because they're just messing with people like during the course of their day.
Yeah.
So then I like to see that person get their comeuppance.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay,
I like when the pranker goes into like a grocery store, pranks some random guy, then the guy turns around and beats the fuck out of the pranker.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that's heaven to me.
Okay.
Like, for example, in the bathroom video, the mom like holds her hand out the door and puts Nutella on the kid.
Yeah.
If the kid were to then actually crap in his hand and throw it in his mom's face, that would be funny because otherwise what you're looking at is a kid that's going to be scarred for life, probably grow up to be a great actor.
Yes.
And have a lot of these issues come out on camera for our benefit.
Yeah. I want the kid to kick the dad in the balls. And like,
I'm sure those are out there.
Yeah.
Those are out there.
Well, that was, you know, prank videos.
Or just like you mentioned earlier, some of the outtake reels, the gag reels. I'll watch a gag reel from any TV show or any movie. It doesn't matter if it's a comedy movie. In fact, it's probably funnier if it's a drama and people are laughing.
Yes. Game of Thrones has a gag reel. But I think I like it also because you see you can capture real authentic moments in that time. It's like, you know, it's all a play. You're seeing people act. But when that happens, you see them at their most authentic place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's the best to, like I said, you can feel it when you watch a show and you're like, these people really enjoy being around each other.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
How long does it take to tape like one season of Veep? Like, how long were you guys actually with each other?
I would say maybe from like September to March, April.
Oh, wow. That's a lot longer than I thought.
Mm. Yeah. And that's the same for, yeah, because it was, that was about, because when I shot Mysterious Benedict Society, it was like August to beginning of February.
So you're really like getting, you're really spending a lot of time with everyone and really getting to know yeah. them day to day.
And the bummer about Benedict, I mean, it turned out beautifully, but we were in COVID, so we couldn't even hang out. And I went to Vancouver, you know, I took the job. I was very excited, but I could fly. I was hoping I could fly back and forth to LA. Once I got there, I couldn't come back home for 5.5 months, and we still couldn't hang out with each other. So it was a really, that was a bummer because we really didn't get have the opportunity to get to know each other.
Wow, that is a bummer.
Who's your least yeah. favorite person on the set of Veep? Mm.
Let's get into it.
Let's get into it.
The biggest ego.
Oh my God. There's no one. There's no one.
Biggest diva.
Biggest diva?
Yeah.
I would say there was no, I won't say it.
Did you ever walk up to Julia and you're like, hey, Seinfeld, like that was pretty fucking cool? I think I would do that at one point. Even if I was her colleague, I'd be like, yeah, remember Seinfeld? Like that was awesome.
It is wild though. When you work with somebody, you know, obviously you're working so much with them and you forget about kind of their work history. And then you kind of wake up and you're like, wow, that Seinfeld, that was a cultural phenomenon.
Right.
Like that was on every single, it might continue to be every single night.
Right. And it was also before, you know, TV has clearly changed in the last 10, 15 years. It was very much, there was appointment television shows and that was one yeah. of them.
Yeah. What was your guys' absolute appointment television show when you were younger that you never missed?
The Simpsons.
I was actually probably Seinfeld. Yeah. I watched Seinfeld when it came out every single, I think it was Thursday
night. Yeah, it was Thursdays. Thursday the Simpsons nights. Started on Thursday, then it moved to Sunday, I think in part to not compete against yeah. Seinfeld.
And Boy Meets World, too. I loved Boy Meets World on Friday.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Because what about pre? Well, you might not have had a pre VCR where you couldn't even tape it. I had a pre VCR where you could not miss it or nobody saw it. Mm-hmm. And mine was the Carol Burnett Show.
Okay.
Okay.
I've heard.
With Tim Conway.
Yeah, and it felt like it was like you, I don't know, it's something that we've definitely lost in TV where everything yeah. is on demand. That feeling yeah. of like, I have to be here. I have to watch yeah. this.
Same with music. We would listen to the radio, and this was before, you know, I mean, we had cassettes, but you had to have your cassette ready to tape it.
Right.
But if you missed that song, like, you would have to wait until the next top 40 or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
I had some mixtapes, and I think all the songs started about 5 seconds into the intro. So it was like a rare treat yeah. when you got to hear the yes. very beginning yes. of that song.
Yes.
You're like, oh, that's the part I was missing. So I've actually heard that I should go back and watch some comedies that were from before my era, and the one that gets brought up a lot is I Love Lucy, which I've yeah. never watched before, but I've heard that it holds up very well. I'm curious if you've gone back and watched shows that were around, you know, before you started watching television.
I remember watching I Love Lucy. I just did the movie with Nicole Kidman about the behind the scenes where she plays Lucille Ball about I Love Lucy.
Huh.
And it's really going to be amazing. Aaron Sorkin directed it. But that I watched I Love Lucy. I would say I would go back and I'd watch the Dick Van Dyke Show. I think I'd like to. That's one I need to dive more into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Tony, this has been awesome, man. We really appreciate you joining us. We're big
so
fans.
Fun.
Everyone go check out 9 Days, which is in theaters now, and also check out the Mysterious Benedict Society, which you can watch on Disney Plus right now.
Yeah. Thanks, guys, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You guys are fun. Really fun.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Blessings, blessings, blessings.
All right.
Good to meet you, man.
Thanks so much.
Take care.
Thanks.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, let's finish up. We got Firefest of the week. PFT, why don't you kick us off?
Okay, Firefest, got a pretty big Firefest this week. I'm leaving vacation.
Oh no!
After this is over,
oh, no.
I know Hank feels my pain.
No,
he doesn't feel my pain actually because he doesn't.
Oh no!
Ever, but I'm going
I never
back
take vacation.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going back down to the house today. Going to pack everything up and come back to the real world on Saturday. I'm going to miss the Jersey Shore. I feel like I've become a Jersey Shore guy this summer.
Like, what are you going to do on Saturday?
I don't know.
There's no pork rolls in New
There's
York
no
City.
Pork roll, egg and cheese, salt and pepper ketchup. I can't go down strictly to the beach and just lay out there. The best part of my day has been just like going down to the beach on a Saturday and laying down for 5 hours in the sun. So I've reached peak tan, PFT. This is as dark as I'll get.
Hudson
and
River.
So it's not the same, Hank. It's not the same. It's all downhill from here. So, yeah, it's bittersweet. Bidding
I'm sorry.
Adieu.
Sorry.
Thank
that's
you.
Sweet. Apologize.
Well, I get to come back to work and football starting, so mm-hmm. That's nice.
That's sweet. All right, my Firefest is quick, short, and quick. My son is just swearing like nonstop, and he's using it appropriately, like in the correct context, which makes it way worse. Like if he drops something, he just says, "Oh shit." So it's like he knows the meaning of it. You know what I mean? It would be one thing if he said it and it had no meaning, but he knows exactly, like, when something goes wrong, he just says, oh, shit.
Are you the only swearer in the house, or is, like,
I'm the main swearer in the house, I'd say, so we're working on it.
I can help if you need.
I'm trying to go, oh, yeah, yeah. I've been
language.
Using OGs.
Yeah.
OGs has been the... It's
fudge.
OGs is not really... I mean, oh, shit works. Like, he's swearing... If you're going to swear, if your child's going to swear, at least have him do it like in the right context. We've got that knocked out.
He's like, Dad, look at this big ass rock I just found.
Yeah, no, he'll drop it and say, oh shit.
this is a shitload of rocks.
Yeah, right. And then he also says, oh fuck, sometimes too. So yeah.
Maybe.
It's got, you know, this is, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You live your life one way, never swearing like myself. And then all of a sudden your son wakes up and decides he's going to swear.
He just learned him out of nowhere,
yeah.
Which is crazy. Do they say that on Bluey?
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I'm fucked.
Don't listen to this. We should maybe work on your show. Uh-huh.
Oh, geez.
The nanny.
Yeah.
With Jake.
All right, Jake, your Firefest.
Yeah, so a few days ago I put my water bottle in my backpack and I didn't close it correctly and everything got wet. It's pretty simple.
What?
That's pretty bad.
It happens to me like four times a week.
Brutal. Just everything's...
Yeah. What'd you say when you opened it up and looked in?
Fudge.
Oh, Fuddruckers.
Yeah. Good burger place. Yeah.
All right, Billy?
I was inspired by Hank saying he wanted to get a six-pack for Grit Week.
Next year.
Well,
that's weird because you said it was going to be this year.
No, he said August.
August.
You didn't specify.
So it still is August.
I might have said Grit Week. Didn't happen.
Yeah.
I thought it was when I said it. I believed in myself.
I think you pushed back pretty hard when I said that's ridiculous. And you guys all called me a hater.
Listen, it's one of those things, like, if it's going to happen, you have to be the person to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I
but
said
But you,
it,
you didn't I, even believe it.
I did at the time. A couple weeks later after, you know, a few pops, a couple days at the beach.
Moving.
Let's just say next year, next Grit Week. Let's do it, Hank.
It is bulking season.
I'm going
to
say.
Now that Roan pointed this out, now that the sun is setting before 8 o'clock, it's time to bulk.
I'll just
big.
Throw it out there. I'm not trying to be a hater, but I don't think you'll have a six-pack for next Grit Week either.
That's a lie. I will.
Okay, we do this all year, every year.
Well, I actually thought Hank was going to do it, and I was like, I can't have Hank having a six-pack. I mean, not
See,
having a six-pack.
Wait, so you got one?
No, this is the worst part. I started like drinking green tea all day, like speeding up my metabolism. Just ended up losing like all my muscle mass and don't even have
a
six-pack.
Wait, I thought that was because of the vaccine.
No, the vaccine's awesome. You should get all five. And Joe Biden, please give me $1,000 for being a vaccine influencer.
You definitely lost your muscle mass because of the vaccine.
There are reports.
Coming from
studies.
You. Studies. Billy studies.
Many people are saying. Wait, you were trying to get a six-pack?
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's cut. Like for the first
and
time in my life.
It just didn't work?
Yeah, it just didn't work.
Damn.
I'm
sorry,
just like skinny
sorry.
Fat.
Apologize to you.
Yeah, it sucks. Sad. And then Cam took a picture of me at Frolf, and I look like a meth head
disc golf.
A,
Yeah, disc garbage cans. Please. Oh, by the way, whoever that guy is, the photographer that took the pictures, I don't know. I'm about to pay that guy to just become my personal photographer.
Yeah, they're awesome pictures.
I saw the picture of me throwing the disc golf.
Did we get him?
He's with Kyle.
Gay Pat texted me, and he goes, "Are you the
just
Rock?"
Pat now.
It's just Pat.
Just Pat now. Yeah, just Pat.
Wait, how did you get the picture?
Because we got tagged in it on Instagram from the people that did it.
Also,
I don't know how that camera works that he has, but it just adds muscles to be. I don't look like that, but now like I have to have all my pictures come from that guy.
Yes. Great picture. All right, Hank.
All right. This is kind of weird, but I am going to use one of my Let's Get Serious cards on the show. We don't do it often, but we did just interview someone, and he was talking about the importance of if you have a microphone and trying to help people and just like doing what you can when you can. So I just thought I'd share, like, last weekend I had an aunt suddenly and like tragically pass away from a house fire that happened when she was asleep. It's been like a very sad and surreal week for the family. And I just felt like I should, it's a minor thing, but just saying, like, you know, check your fire alarms. If you have like a bunch of shit plugged in, make sure like you're not like, make sure you don't have like a bunch of like extension cords on extension cords on extension cords, like, and it's just one of those things where it's like I know in my past, like I've like cooked and like my fire alarm went off and I just like unplugged it, got rid of it and never forgot about it. So it's one of those things that I just felt like I should share it. I know it's been like a weird, crazy summer for me. I might not have handled it the best, but I appreciate you guys and the listeners. I know PFT says it every time, but I love you guys too. I love you guys, and it's weird to get this serious.
No, but it's a good point because you're right. You're like, how many times I've like cooked, fire alarm goes off, take the batteries out, don't put them back in.
Right.
Like everyone's done that.
I've taken an entire smoke detector off a wall and just like put it down on a counter, forgotten about it. But yeah, check your batteries right now. And yeah, be careful. So like with the extension cords.
Yeah, it was like, it's like if you have like, you know, if you have like whatever, the extension cords with six converters, don't plug another extension cord with six converters into that because you need the plugs. Like obviously, like,
yeah,
some houses can't take all that much power.
Yeah.
Be safe out there.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Hank.
Appreciate it. Sorry. I mean, I was thinking about saying something, and then the interview on Monday when he, as he was saying it, I was like, I felt like he was talking to me. I was like, all right,
yeah.
I was iffy on if I was going to say something or not. I probably wasn't going to until he said it. And I was like, all right.
And you know,
I should say this.
It was there's a sign of when we actually get serious because we don't do the browser sound.
Right.
So that's when you know it's actually serious. So please do that. Thank you, Hank. Billy, any recap?
Yeah. It's going to be hard to follow that up with funny stuff.
You got this. But you were planning on funny stuff?
Yeah. Just trying.
See what I did there? Yeah. I just listened to the mood for you. Yeah,
We got Carson Wentz walking around at practice right after surgery, no boot. So who knows what's going on there.
No boot, is that like no cap?
Yeah, no boot. Yeah. Whatever.
Isn't that the sushi place in Beverly Hills everyone goes to?
Nobu?
Nobu, yeah. It's off the 405.
No, are you sure?
That was PCH, off the one. PCH.
Oh, it's a PCH, yeah. But don't go like around 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Or like 4 to 9 p.m.? Forget about it. You're not going anywhere.
Urban Meyer has not announced whether Trevor Lawrence is the starting quarterback week one, which is, you know.
Intrigue.
Trevor Lawrence trending downward. Sam Ellinger trending upward.
Stock up, stock down.
You know, I'm just saying.
Billy, if Sam Ellinger has a better career than Trevor Lawrence, like we need, I will quit my job to become my only job in life will be to be your PR agent to just remind people. Like I'll be one of those Jesus freaks who's like, has the Lord saved you today? Like, have you remembered that Billy Football correctly predicted Sam Ellinger over Trevor Lawrence? That's my promise to you.
Also, a little fun stat, Cam Newton needs 1,426 yards to pass Steve Young, Troy Aikman, and Kurt Warner on the all-time passing list.
Ooh,
wow.
And then also there's a bunch of funny local commercials coming out featuring NIL athletes, which I think we should start reviewing because some of them are hilarious.
Yes.
I like that idea, yeah.
Also, when we got to the hotel last night, I turned on NFL Live, and they were talking about Jameis, and all of them were like, Jameis should be the starter, and Hasselbeck was like, yeah, you know, Jameis is young, 27. Like, if Sean Payton figures it out, this is your starter for the next 13 years.
What? We're doing that thing where everyone's going to be Tom Brady.
Yeah,
he's ruined it for everyone else. Where it's like, oh yeah,
it looks like we're set for the next 15 to 20 years if you have a good rookie quarterback.
Yeah, like just the Bears. The Bears are now set for 24 years. Yeah. Think about that.
Uh-huh. That's pretty good. I think I'm in on the Bears this year. The clips that have been coming out of training camp are incredible.
I know what you're doing.
No, I'm serious.
Yep. Yeah.
I bet on them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll put a future down.
Yeah, I put a future on them.
Love it.
I'm sorry for believing in the Bears.
Yeah. No, you do.
Let me be the first to say the Bears are back.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
All Bears.
All right, numbers. 1 to 100. I got the random generator.
69.
73.
99.
18.
8.
Billy and Jake are looking.
Noah.
10.
Noah's got 10.
44. Okay.
Everyone remember your number. That's
93. Oh. I don't think anyone said it.
Salmon can swim in salt and fresh water.
Oh, can nice. Can we go back to Wednesday real quick? Can you run back that fact?
Oh, the one about elephants?
Yeah.
Okay, so elephants look at humans like humans look at puppies. Elephants think that humans are cute the same way we think puppies are cute. Because we're like small creatures to them. Yeah.
Okay.
That's
cool.
That's good.
That is crazy.
I listened to it back and when I was editing it, and I was like, wait.
Yeah.
So they like want to scratch us behind our ears with their trunks and stuff.
They want to give us boops?
Yeah, they want to boop us.
Oh, we're very good boys. I love it. Love you guys.
My Take, presented by Barstool Sports.